Good morning. What a joy to be here with you this morning. And what a joy for all of us to listen to God's very word. As it is written in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We pray, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Scientists expect to create life in 10 years. That was a headline I saw recently at the NBC online news science segment posted by the Associated Press. I thought, well, maybe that's 10 years from this January, but then I saw the posting date, August 2007. That means that, if they are correct, we are within 2.5 years of scientists creating life. Now, one of them does say, actually, we're redesigning the cell chromosomes. We're not actually creating a new artificial life system. But nonetheless, this puts before you, young college students in today's world, a brand new moral and ethical dilemma to deal with as you go out and live your Christian lives. But today, especially, I just want us to think about this. These scientists have spent so much time. This is a daunting task. This is after years and years. And even now, the attempts to create life so far absolutely have been failures. Contrast that to the Lord God, who in the beginning could have, about his upcoming creation, written this headline: God will create life in the next 6 days. And he did, so seemingly effortlessly, as we read the account. By his mighty word, out of nothing in those 6 days, living forms of all kinds, little creatures and large ones, plants and animals. And then he took the soil and so effortlessly formed Adam and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living, functioning being. And then his wife Eve, from his rib, a living, functioning human being, created in the image of the living God himself, perfect and holy. You and I sit here this morning as evidence of the fact that God's creation was not flawed, that in fact the life he created still is sustained. Year in and year out, male and female, he made them. And we live today as evidence of his creative love. But we also live as evidence of the problem. And that is, we woke up this morning as sinful human beings who were born that way, who were conceived that way because of Adam and Eve's original sin passed on to us. And so the blanket, the pall of death is in this room as well. That spiritual death and physical death and also eternal death for those who are lost eternally hangs over this chapel. And the Apostle Paul talks about this too in this text. We were dead in transgressions. There's no life here among us spiritually. We were dead in transgressions. Now, could scientists say, could the headline be, scientists expect to create spiritual life in the next 10 years? The next 20 years? The next 20,000 years, the next 20 million years, impossible. It will not happen. For natural man does not perceive the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness unto him, neither does he know them because they are spiritually discerned. By nature, we cannot come back to life spiritually. We have no power in ourselves. And had God desired to simply leave things as they were, each of us would live out a biological term of time on earth. It would end. We would go off into hell, and such would be our only hope. But God stepped in, and Paul does so wonderfully here express this. Simply by God's love. He writes here, he loved us with this great love, and he's rich in mercy. He has incomparable riches of his grace. He has kindness to us in Christ Jesus. God, in this love and kindness and this grace, reached down and did what no one can do. He created life. The first time he recreates life in the spiritually dead by the power of his word. His own son, Jesus Christ, came down to earth and himself had to die physically, had to experience the pangs of hell for us so that we might have life. And this God did. He restored what only he can restore. He gave life where only he could put life back. And we sit here again as evidence of the fact that God carries out this creation. Every single day in some lost sinner somewhere who through the waters of baptism or the preaching of the word come to know their dear Savior and have life again. So in this section where Paul highlights the grace of God, then he ends with these wonderful words, "It is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This is God's territory. It's almost laughable that we might join those who say, well, okay, God did 99% or 99.5%, but I have to do my little part here. I have to accept Jesus. I have to do that. As if a dead body could react or somehow a corpse could respond to the smell of a wonderful pepperoni pizza in the room. It doesn't happen that way. God creates life. God creates spiritual life. And therefore, we could never say, didn't God and I do a great job in saving me? I'm so proud. No, Paul says, there's no pride here at all. We didn't do anything. No one can boast. God did it all. He rescued us from our sins. So when it comes to life, really any life, biological life, spiritual life, the only appropriate response is to say, thank you. Thank you, God, for my life on earth, for being here as a person in this wonderful creation that you made. Thank you, Lord, for giving me life again, new life in Christ spiritually by the power of your word and sacraments, and for making me your dear child. Today we celebrate the lives of some people who've served here for momentous amounts of time in this college campus, and they have done so because God gave them life. First of all, he gave them their life biologically and physically so that they are actually here among us, like the rest of us, as human beings able to carry out these functions with their talents. But more importantly than that, God gave them new life. So the teaching that they have done here for these years is to your benefit spiritually as well, and to their benefit as children of God. And the one great good news is, whatever scientists dabble in the future that you need to cope with, as young Christians, having to decide, is this good, is this bad, is this moral, is this not moral, is it ethical, is it not ethical, the one unchanging truth will be that restored life, that spiritual life, will always be the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, always, in whatever condition the world is in, people like you and me will have that same wonderful spiritual life that lasts into eternity, so that he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Amen.